Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Spit them out.
So I don't hate Neil's answer simply because in a world where Florida's schedule, I think, makes it in terms of that's a team that could go 11-1, and that's a team that could go 7-5, and there might not be much difference between the team, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like how I actually feel about a team, I do think it's, for me, my answer is Auburn. Simply because I also think I have seen what happens when a team quits on Hugh Freeze, and like it can get real bad.
So to that point, if Auburn beats Baylor week one, they're going to be 3-0 going into a trip to Norman. I think,
and a revenge game for their quarterback.
Correct. Jackson Arnold heading there.
Not sure which way that works, but it is something we'll struggle with week four.
If Auburn, all right, here's the schedule real quick. Baylor, Ball State, South Alabama, at Oklahoma, at Texas A&M, Georgia off a bye. So that's the first half of their schedule. If they go through that 4-2, you're looking at home to Missouri, at Arkansas, Kentucky, at Vandy, Mercer, before you play Bama at home. If you can survive that first part of the season, they're going to be a favorite in every game before they play Alabama at home to wrap up the regular season. There is a world where Auburn is 9-2 going into the Bama game, playing for a berth to the college football playoff.
I think the other thing, though, is like conversely,
but
and the reason
But you could also flip, as we just discussed, they could lose to Baylor, they could lose to Oklahoma, they could lose to Texas A&M, they could be 2-4 going into the Missouri game, and Missouri could be licking their chops with an opportunity to go to the Plains in their first road game of the year and get a big win, and then does Auburn completely fall apart?
Dave Aranda has had pretty good success against SEC teams at Baylor defensively. The problem that I have with Baylor is the reason why they were bad last year was because of their defense. And I think it actually makes sense to me because in the end, defense more so than offense is about dudes. It's size, it's speed. There's only so much coaching up you can do. That's my concern with Baylor that game.
I think I've kind of flipped on this game because
I decided I'm going to emotionally hedge. I'm just going to unload on Auburn, and then if I lose the bet, so be it.
Once again, bowl game, take that for what you will. I think they have an advantage at quarterback, Baylor. Outside of that, I think Auburn might have an advantage everywhere else.
And I definitely think they're going to have an advantage up front.
All right, LSU real quickly put up 44 points on them in the bowl game.
With their entire scout squad.
Right. Nussmeier did play, but yeah.
Nussmeier played, but like now it's also LSU, so it's like they do have first round receivers on the bench.
Right.
Yeah. Like I expect. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the list. Tim's got a good question based upon last year's Team USA comeback win over Serbia in the Olympics. Is that the best sporting event since? We'll debate it. We'll discuss it when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Program is brought to you by our good friends over at Birdies, located in the historic South Main District of downtown. Birdies offers three golf simulators, full-service bar, great TV selection. If you don't want to go out to TPC Southwind and braise the heat, it's a great spot to watch the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Also, you can beat the summer heat with golf discounts at Birdies throughout the month. More golfers means more discounts. If you go in with a foursome at golfatbirdies.com, 40% off. Threesomes, 30% off. Twosomes, 20% off. If you're just a single playing solo, 10% off. But the discounts are only applied to the standard rates, and you must book your tee time in advance at golfatbirdies.com. We also got an August membership special going on. Buy a full membership, and you'll receive a six-month practice membership free of charge. Get the full details on both memberships available at the website, golfatbirdies.com, golfatbirdies.com. Let's get into the list. The semifinal men's Olympic basketball game. All right, so Tim sent this tweet out. Obviously, I didn't see it because it comes from the Warriors' main account. I'm actually shocked that I'm not blocked, some of the things I've said about them. 36 points, 9 threes, an iconic performance in Paris to advance at Team USA Basketball to the gold medal game. It was 1 year ago today. Tim posed the question, this is the best sporting event since, and it got me thinking, was that the best sporting event in the last 365 days? And I've decided you're 100% wrong. I know it affected my patriotism, and I enjoyed watching it, but it wasn't football.
It's true, and I was just going through a list of college football games. I'm like, what have I missed? What games
did I miss?
All right,
so here were ones I thought. This is, if you want to go college, Arizona State, Texas.
Yep.
That game ruled.
It was really good. Peach Bowl. New Year's Day, it's awesome.
Notre Dame, Penn State was a pretty good game.
I was there. I enjoyed it very much.
Our other semifinal was Texas, Ohio State.
It was 21-14. Ball.
I mean,
was
it was.
The goal
listen,
line.
If they just run a quarterback sneak, that's a tie game.
Right.
Definitely Bills Ravens was a better game. I think Chiefs Bills was a better game. What were the best college football games last year? I was even trying to think regular season.
So I got the list that ESPN put out.
All right.
Right now, their number one game of the year was Vandy beating Alabama.
I mean, we did stop everything we were doing for that.
We're like, SEC Network, now.
I was happy I lived in the SEC market because I do think the only problem with that game is that had that game been like on ABC, I think the only thing that limited it from being like just the game of the year for like the from the buzz like perspective is the fact that everybody didn't have SEC Network.
You had Alabama, Georgia, where
the
Alabama
problem is, can you? This is my question: can it be a game of the year if only one quarter is really good?
I think that's fair. Because it was, I mean, it was a boat race. Like, all right, Alabama, this
it was an uncomfortable watch in the first half.
Yeah.
Georgia
Tech, 8 overtimes on Black Friday.
That was a pretty fun game.
Late night Miami Cal, the Cam Ward comeback.
Everybody was asleep.
There's a couple Big 12 games in there that they put up pretty high. I'll just say this about the USA-Serbia game. I wish it was in that slot. Now, the France game was fun, and it was just, it was one of those games where the United States led the whole time, but France just never went away, and Steph just did Steph things. And we were all watching. I think it was a Sunday afternoon.
I think it was the very last event of the games. Because I think we went directly to that, to Tom Cruise riding his motorcycle through Paris and then skydiving into the stadium.
And I think it was like perfect timing too, right? It was in the middle of the afternoon, nothing going on in August. The Serbia game was during the middle of the day on a Thursday. Well, today,
I think you and I were on the air. I think it was a Friday for whatever reason.
No, it wasn't because it was a year ago.
It was a year today,
I remember I was sitting in Circa watching the game and just being like, is this really going to happen? Like,
oh, I know what it was. But you and I talked about it the next day. Yeah. That's what it was.
I just, the thing about that game that I love about it when I watched it back, and we talked about it that Friday, was it wasn't, it was everybody. It was Joel Embiid had a couple big buckets in the fourth quarter. Kevin Durant had the big, I think it was a pull-up. LeBron had a coast-to-coast layup that, you know, put it home. And then Steph was just unbelievable.
No, it was
everyone
kind of
came together. It was all the old heads.
It was an Avengers movie where every guy did his thing. Like LeBron had the overpowering layup. Like to your point, but it was what every one of those great players was known for, like got his moment and delivered. I also, though, in retrospect, it also to me is just more proof of I just don't listen to anyone that doesn't think that Jokic is the best player. Like that team's not that good, and he carried them to the most competitive game.
Oh yeah, I think what it also told me, we better figure this thing out in 2028, because guess who ain't going to be there? LeBron, Steph, KD, none of those guys who saved our butts over in Paris are going to be in LA. So we better figure it out.
I tend to agree.
Now, we tend to, because we have the most overall collection of talented players, but that France team ain't going anywhere.
Well, I think what the difference
Jokic is coming back.
To me, it's kind of like the SEC's argument for why they're the best league. Like, if this were a question of who has the 25 best players, I don't think there's a country that even remotely stacks up.
No way.
But we're now getting to the point where France is probably going to be able to have a rotation of 8 guys where everyone's in the NBA.
And they've got freakazoids up front.
And they theoretically, at that point, could have the best player alive.
Well, there's... Now, we are, what year is it? 25. So we got 3 years. But as of right now, I don't anticipate Slovenia, even though they made the run to the semis in 2021 with Luka being superhuman. Canada's got a better player than the United States. Serbia's got a better player than the United States.
Will he be, though, at that time?
Who, SGA?
No, I'm saying will
Jokic?
Will Jokic in 3 years still be...
I don't think his game really ages him, because he's not... I mean, I didn't think LeBron would be able to do what he's been doing with his just strength and power. Jokic is just smart and
Jokic
finesse.
Is such a mystery to me, though. If I told you Jokic in 2 years is just going to like mysteriously retire and just go race horses and watch horses, does that really shock you?
I've heard people say that. I think it would, because
it's so much money.
Yeah, he's making so much money. And I know when he comes off and he says, I just want to go home and I just want to be with my horses, whatever. You watch that dude on the sideline. That dude ain't messing around.
No, I think he has to play basketball to feed his horse addiction. Now, the one thing I will say, Jokic has more money than any of us could dream of, but if he wants to like really get into like the thoroughbred, like that racing game, that's billionaires that are going at it. So like maybe he's just going to have to keep like playing for $80 million just in the hopes of getting a derby horse.
I guess it would take away from it. I love watching Olympic basketball. I just wish we could get it every summer. And I know it would water it down and everyone wouldn't play and it wouldn't be as special as it was in 24. But like, that's what I'm missing right now. Like, we need that right now. Like, preseason, we watched it last night. I've been talking college football all summer. But it's like, there's this little gap where the golf majors are done. I know we've got the event down in, you know.
We've talked about it. Like,
just needs something. And that's why last summer, especially with the anticipation of this tournament being as good as it ultimately ended up being, with Serbia and France and Canada went undefeated in pool play before getting knocked off in the first round. The United States having this, I was going to call them the dream team, however you want to define them. Like, it just, it helped us bridge the gap to football.
Well, and what, like, I was thinking is, can we get the powers? Do we believe part of the World Cup's specialness, whatever the, you, do you think it being every 4 years adds to it?
The World Cup?
Correct.
I think we could do it every 2 years.
Because my thought is, what, it's next year, right? I think maybe we actually have, like, it feels like we should rotate. There should be a true international summer thing every, like, we should have, we need some kind of international competition right now. I'm not saying, like, so, but I think, I was actually thinking, I do think the World Cup is on the years where we have the Winter Olympics, right? So they kind of have figured that out.
Yep.
What do we do? What do we backfill with the odd years?
Yeah, we have nothing on odd years. The odd years are just, are left out. We had,
should,
like,
we move the Ryder Cup up to this time?
Ooh.
The problem is the Ryder Cup's only 1 week. And really, it's only 3 days.
But man, if we got the Ryder Cup right now, I'd be all in. Like,
I think the PGA Tour's got a real problem. Nobody cares about this.
I was talking to my buddy Steve Sands from the Golf Channel.
Sandsy!
My boy. He's in your hood right now. I told him to get some Gus's chicken.
I ran into Todd Lewis at baggage claim on Sunday. His bag showed up. Mine did not. F you, Delta.
Like, I'm excited about the Ryder Cup, but, like, it's in, like, late September.
I know
September
the problem
27th,
is...
September 27th is the best college football Saturday of the year.
I wish, actually, it were, even though it would mean a surefire loss for the red, white, and blue, I wish this were a year where it were in Europe. I actually like it during football season when it's early. The problem is when it's during football season and all the matches are going on Saturday and Sunday during the best part of the football calendar.
Like,
maybe that's the answer. Like, because here's the thing. The PGA Tour's got a real problem in that this playoff has never been more obvious, that it is just a redistribution of cash to the players. I'm not saying they don't deserve the money. But what I am saying is this thing's not working. So what we need to do is we've got to figure out, move this thing to the fall, or even have it, like, be, it ends at the players. Because what's so obvious now is, like, the majors are all that matter, and have it end before major season, and then let's move the Ryder Cup up to this time, because then everything's perfect.
So the Ryder Cup starts on Friday, September 26th. We've got a couple of football games that day, but nothing too crazy. But that Saturday, are you watching the Ryder Cup, or are you watching LSU Ole Miss?
I will be watching LSU Ole Miss.
Are you watching the Ryder Cup, or are you watching Auburn-Texas A&M?
Auburn-Texas A&M.
Are you watching the Ryder Cup, or are you watching Notre Dame at Arkansas?
Okay, well, here is the other question. Tell me the time. So, Notre
Dame, are you watching the Ryder Cup?
Notre Dame, Arkansas has been 11
a.m. Central.
Did they announce when Ole Miss LSU was? Isn't that also Georgia-Bama? But let's be real. That game's going to be at 6:30, so that's not applicable.
So we know Alabama, Georgia, and Oregon-Penn State are both primetime on that Saturday.
Okay, so that's not applicable because the golf will be over.
LSU-Ole Miss probably will be in the afternoon. 2:30, my guess. Yeah, it will probably be the 2:30 game. And then you've got Tennessee-Mississippi State, which I guess they'll probably put on, like, SEC Network primetime or something like that.
The problem is they're gonna have to sort out. To me, it's like whoever winds up being the second, like, I think LSU Ole Miss is gonna wind up being the second best game. They'll put that at 2:30 on ABC or whatever your neck of the woods, 12:30.
Yep.
But 2:30 Central. If, however, Auburn's undefeated and A&M is undefeated, that will get the 2:30 game. And then I don't know what they're gonna do with the other Ole Miss LSU game. Because I don't think they'll want to put that as the night SEC primetime game against They don't like to have like double.
I think this is going to be your triple header on ABC. It's going to be Notre Dame, Arkansas, LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia. That's going to be your triple header on ABC.
If I were betting, that's what I would bet. The problem is what if Ole Miss loses to like Tulane or loses to Arkansas, and sure, let's say LSU loses to Clemson. Like, let's say those teams, if they're both undefeated, that game's going to 230, no questions asked. And honestly, I think probably even if one has a loss, I can see that. But if it feels like both of them have already lost at least once, I can see where in Auburn and A&M are undefeated, I can see where that game gets it.
So other games on the 27th against the Ryder Cup. Indiana, Iowa could be a pretty good game. USC at Illinois. Ohio State at Washington. Like, that's a loaded day against the Ryder Cup. And then you go to Sunday, and we've got Washington, Atlanta, which was
the Pennix. That was a great game last year.
Thriller last year. We also have a game in Ireland at 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 your time.
Thanks be to the commish.
Minnesota and Pittsburgh. Also on that day, probably when the Ryder Cup is wrapping up, you just have, you know, Baltimore at Kansas City.
Well, nobody would watch that game.
Yeah. And then Sunday Night Football, Ryder Cup will be done by then, is Green Bay, Dallas.
I guess is that it has to be CBS. That has to be the weekend CBS, that CBS.
CBS pulled the Trump card.
They protected that game, right? That has to be.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Because why would that game not be Sunday Night Football?
Because I think CBS is like, no, we're keeping.
Because I know what Fox and CBS, what do they get, like 2 or 3 weeks where they get to go? Like, they get to put the force field on it?
Yeah, I think I believe that to be the case. By the way, can I ask you this? I'm sure you talked about it. I said this about Inside the NBA, and I'll say it about Red Zone.
All right.
Say what you will about ESPN and how much their programming is not great now. I would tend to agree with you. They're not messing with the Red Zone. Maybe there'll be ads.
So I think this is true.
Stephen A. Smith is not going to host the Red Zone. I know everyone's like, oh my God, they're going to put... Pat McAfee, whatever you want to think about him, I'm not the biggest fan. I respect what he's done. They have left that show untouched.
I agree, and I do agree that there's ESPN derangement syndrome going on. I agree with you on that. I do think it's fair to say there could be concern down the line when they become ESPN properties. Like, let's say 6-7 years. I don't think for the first couple of years they're going to do anything. I think they're hypersensitive to any, like, oh, they would be meddling. But once they become their properties, that's what I'm worried about. I've actually got a hot take for you, though. I'm not as convinced that College Red Zone will work, because I think a lot of people out there,
they don't have the rights to all the games.
Exactly. I think people don't understand. ESPN has done this before. It was called Goal Line.
Yeah, with Chris Hassel. It didn't work.
And it didn't work.
It works. The only time it works, and this is for the super niche people out there, but people in your neck of the woods, because you love college baseball, is the first round of college baseball.
Yes, the regional.
Because they have the rights to all the games.
What do they call it? It's like squeeze play or something? Yeah, that's a great way to watch.
It's a great product. Like, if you turn on College Red Zone, you will not get a Big Ten game unless the Big Ten team is on the road at an SEC team.
What I do think could happen to Red Zone down the line is, I think the real question is, if they made it a commercial broadcast, is it still worth watching? Because we've all done this move.
How long are the commercials?
We've all done this move. If they do like a real, you know, 3.5 minute break, they do whatever. Because we've all been there, right? Where you've had Red Zone on all day, and then you flip to Sunday Night Football, and you get to the first commercial break, and you try to fast forward. You're like, wait, what happened here? Like, oh yeah.
That is the crazy thing too. Is like, and you've got a kid, so you know what I'm talking about. hey, can you help me with this? All right, I'll pause the game. And I'm like, oh, just fast forward to commercials, right?
Yep.
When I pause the red zone, I'm like, I can never catch up. There are no commercials.
It's over. I mean, I am worried that happens, but I don't think it's happening for like 5 years.
I would say, would I be surprised if they did like golf does with like a playthrough at some point? No, but you can't do a full spot block on Red Zone. It just takes away the whole purpose of the program.
I actually think there's a better chance, though, because that's the other thing. I don't think sports fans realize actually how few people watch Red Zone compared to like the regular NFL game. Like an NFL game that on a Sunday that gets like 25 million viewers, Red Zone like hovers around like a million people. Now, if you watch Red Zone, you don't understand how people watch it any other way. Although I've argued when my team's good, I don't like watching Red Zone when my team's good because you don't get a feel for the whole flow of the game. But if it's a Sunday and you're just betting the board, like that's, you know, for me, it's like, all right, put Red Zone on the middle TV so I don't have to hear the commercials. And then the rest I'm watching, like whatever the games that I'm like focused in on, I'll watch those.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think watching your team, or if it's Bills Chiefs,
yeah, if it's the game, the game of the afternoon,
I'm watching the whole game.
I agree. I actually think people missed the bigger detail of this story. I think the biggest detail of this story is, according to smart people that I've read, part of the NFL taking the ownership stake in ESPN, and also this got under discussed. I don't know if you saw this detail. Did you see the Wall Street Journal reported, I believe it was the same day, that because of the Skydance Paramount merger, the NFL now has a stake in CBS? The reason why I think that's a big deal is the NFL is tacitly acknowledging, we do not believe that the rights fees are just going to keep going up in perpetuity. And that part of the way that they're going to counterbalance, okay, maybe we're not making as much money on the straight up rights fee, is having the equity stake. Also, as Florio King was really cooking on this story, Florio's theory is it's unclear, and probably the NFL's argument is going to be the NFL does not have to share equity with the players. They only have to share revenue. So this is a way for the NFL and the owners to make money for themselves and not have to share it with the players.
No.
I'm telling you, King was cooking this week. Smelling salts, he believes, is a way to get the 18th game back on the schedule. Have the players freak out about not having their smelling salts and then offer it back and say, well, okay, we're going to get something they want out of it as a negotiation. Which, honestly, you can tell me he's not wrong. I do think Goodell does this all the time. That was the other thing I was thinking about last night as I was watching preseason, getting kind of back for it. What rule do you think we're going to see on Thursday night when the Eagles and the Cowboys kick it off for real? What rule are the officials going to emphasize that everyone's going to freak out about? Because last year? Yeah, last year it was the lining up offsides, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they nailed the tackle for the Chiefs, right?
It was lining up behind the line, and they caught it
10 times. What do we think this year's – what do we think the rule that comes out of nowhere that they're going to call 15 times and we're like, oh, well, we should have seen this coming?
I don't know if it's the answer to your question, but there was a stretch last night, I think in the Ravens game, where the Ravens were called for defensive holding on like two straight running plays, and Harbaugh was losing his mind. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
I don't hate that one at all.
I was like, because you saw a flag, and then the ref goes to do the holding, and I'm like, all right, pack it up. Defense. I'm like,
I don't hate that at all.
On a running play? Same drive twice.
Because didn't scoring go down last year?
If it did, I think it was down by just a tick. I don't think it was a lot, but
I want to say they're like through like week eight, scoring was way down. Now, I attribute it to people were running the ball more. It was the highest percentage of run versus pass in like 25 years. And so I attributed the clock was just running a little bit more, so scoring was down.
Now, that's true, but you also have to look at probably three of the best offenses and best teams the last year or two. Ravens ran the ball more because they got Derrick Henry. Eagles ran the ball more because of Saquon. And the Lions' game plan is you have two stops.
Well, and on top of that, the Bills ran the ball more. The Chiefs were dinking and dunking. Even though the Chiefs weren't running it more, they were dinking and dunking more.
Because they were Mahomes wasn't playing as well as he had before, and their receivers were in and out.
Their receivers were terrible.
Yeah. Or
and Rashee Rice got arrested and hurt.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in on this. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll preview the weekend, and we'll do all that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurice's, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Tim George, just during the middle of the break, asked a good question. You were watching the game in studio, so I assume, like me, you didn't have the sound on because you were working. Did you even notice the Hawkeye spotting of the ball?
I did not.
Okay, so we both had, George, if that gives you any.
Beautiful. I love it.
I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. So correct me if I'm wrong. So they've put the chip in the ball, because I do remember them zeroing in on the football to like kind of show it, you know, during
Once or twice, if it was close to the line or something.
But that's only for reviews, right? I'm still unclear exactly how they're utilizing it, because they still have the chains out there.
Hmm. I think they said the chains were for.
I mean, they're clearly for
backup.
They're clearly for aesthetics, and then I think the other reason they're there is in the event the Hawkeye technology doesn't work, that they have a second. Honestly, my take on all the Hawkeye thing was, I think we solved a problem that I don't really think existed. I feel like we do this every year. A call goes against a team and someone screams bloody murder in the playoffs. My biggest problem with the whole Bills spot thing on that was they never... I wanted the explanation for why the one official they met and he brings the ball back. I never saw an explanation for that.
Yeah, I don't think we did. I don't know that we will.
I also, by the way, I don't know if Hawkeye would have fixed that. In the end, they spotted the ball where they spotted it.
True.
So it wasn't... based on where it got spotted, it wasn't a first down. I guess what they're arguing is Hawkeye would have shown that the ball advanced farther.
Maybe?
George's, what was your other suggestion for the rule we're going to find out on opening night that's going to get emphasized?
My other one, because we talked about the holding as well, which just because I didn't know where they were calling these defensive holdings. Tim, if you have anything else on like what type
one
of player
wasn't
where.
One of them like on a DB that was trying to shuck on a run?
Yeah, it was, if I'm trying to remember, it was too dry. It was a drive. It was like one of the opening drives for the Ravens. I don't remember the specific. I just remember seeing Harbaugh losing his mind on the other side.
So George's other suggestion was the tight end chipping that they're going to call them for holding more?
Holding, or, I mean, if they're doing it a little bit further down the field, outside of that, like, what, 3 to 5 yards, some more OPI on that? Because I just remember seeing it more than a handful of times where they end up doing that, and it just went nowhere last year. Just wouldn't shock me.
There was also, I've got another suggestion. Tim, do you remember the play in the Ravens game where the receiver just kind of got separation and then they called OPI?
Yes.
I wonder if that could be another candidate, if they're actually going to start calling OPI now.
Early push-offs?
Yeah. I mean, I will be honest. I actually think they got the call right, because, like, to me, it's like there's an art to the push-off where it was, I think Randy Moss's deal was use the back of, if you use the back of your hand, you can always get more separation, because as soon as they see you go palm up, they know you've pushed off. This guy literally just ran right at the DB and, like, bench pressed him. Like, this one was not even, like, attempting to hide it. So I had zero problem with the call. I'm trying to think, what other, like, procedural things could they call?
It seemed last year they were trying to get a handle on illegal shifts a lot.
Was that a college one where if you jumped over the center and you like touched any part of him, what was that called?
Leverage or leaping,
yeah,
or something
leverage.
Like that. Yeah.
Was that a college one or NFL?
That's both now.
Okay. Both now, but especially on kicks.
Yeah, anytime it's a personal foul too. It's not even like five.
Yeah.
It's like
it's a huge first down.
It's a massive penalty. I could see also trying to crack down on the receivers that kind of get the extra beat when they go in motion and kind of move forward.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in favor of that. Even though at my heart I'm an offensive guy, I do think the rules are so slanted to screw. It's part of the reason why my whole thing is I did not care about the tush push, like banning the tush push itself. I want to ban pushing running backs. I don't think that's football. Like, I do not think you should be able to, and I hate the argument of, well, it's really hard to officiate. The whole game is hard to officiate. But when it's very obvious, like, when I see a left tackle grab the running back and throw him for 3 yards, that's not football. I'd like to get rid of that, but they're not going to do that. Unless, maybe we just stumbled onto something. Because Goodell wants the tush push gone. What if he starts emphasizing that? Like, I can't get the tush push gone by law, but I'll just have the officials do it for me. I can see where that one kicks in.
I thought the rule was you could push, but you can't pull.
Just straight up tackling them. Like, what they.
Oh, yeah. No, no,
like,
no.
Watch. There are like tackles that will literally grab the running back and throw him into the end zone. That's not. I would go to the grave.
Yeah,
that's
no,
not
no,
football.
No, 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 no. I don't disagree. I'm trying to parse through like what their current bylaw is for that.
I think the problem was they argued because they can't legislate or they can't officiate. They can't officiate the push. They've just thrown it out. But I could see where they sneakily throw it back in. I could see where Goodell does that. Also, over at Pro Football Talk, my guy's absolutely cooking. One of the headline stories that the King wrote today, NFL begins lobbying Congress on an ESPN deal. God, he's the best. How much do you think Goodell hates that he's on NBC?
Who's that, Florio?
Yeah.
Never met Florio. I don't even think I've ever had him on an interview.
He's entertaining. To me, like, he makes my NFL experience better. I understand why the people that don't like him don't like him. With that being said, I view him as, like, he enhances my entertainment value of watching the NFL. King's always cooking. Do we have... All right, so is there a sporting event on the calendar this weekend that we're looking forward to? Because if not, I think I have a recommendation.
Are you looking forward to watching Shador tonight?
I mean, it's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't. It's not stop everything you're doing. It's one of those ones where, because they put it on NFL Network, right? Is it the early one? I think it's 6 tonight.
There's only 6 two. O'clock. All the games are at the same time tonight. All three are in the 6 o'clock central hour.
It's one of those ones where I'm not saying, honey, we're not going out to eat because I have to stay and watch Shador, but it is one that I'm going to seek out, even if we miss it, I'm going to seek out and watch Shador's drives. Is that a fair way to say it?
The takes, fair. I wish this game was last night.
Yes.
Because the takes, if he had a Tanner McKee performance, he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And if he looked like Devin Leary, we'd be ready to cut him and send him to the CFL.
Yeah, it could be either extreme.
There's no middle.
None.
There's no like, he's
fine.
A rookie.
Listen, he's going to have some growing pains. Listen, it was a great performance, but like it's base coverages and, you know, like.
The most anticipated start for a fifth rounder since ..
It has to be ever.
I had Jonathan Peterlin, who does a radio show in Cleveland, on my show last night, and he still is just dumbfounded. He's like, I don't understand how Dylan Gabriel was a third round pick.
I'm actually with him. And I mean that's the thing. It weirdly makes me seem like a Dylan Gabriel hater. I actually think like he's a very productive player. He cannot play in that league.
Shador Sanders, I believe, can play in the NFL.
I think the Browns should play him this year. I think it. I'm not even joking.
I'm not even like the biggest Shador stan in the world. Like, if he went in the third round of the Browns, I'd be like, yeah. I mean, it was a little bit of a surprise. What just made no sense to me was that the Browns were like, you know who is a third round talent at the quarterback position and better than Shador Sanders? Dylan Gabriel. Huh?
You know what it strikes me as? I bet all the nerds love him. Because he's super accurate.
Yep.
He is willing to push the ball downfield. And I think it's also fair to say this. Despite his size, he's been really durable.
Until now.
Right, ironically. But like my thing is, I don't know if Shador is an NFL starter, but I do think he has the ability to be an NFL starter. Why would you not play him this year and find out? You're not going anywhere. You get to keep your pick next year now. Why would you not play him and figure what good does it? I guess the only argument for Joe Flacco is there are 52 guys on a roster, and pretty much historically every locker room would rather have the veteran play because they think it gives them the better chance to win. I understand that. But you're the Browns, and you're horribly run. What what's going to, like, your veterans are going to find something else about the franchise that annoys them. So why not just, if he's good, you've either hit on a first or a fifth rounder, so that's going to make your team so much better because of the cap implications, or you find out he can't play and we've got the number one pick and we get to do it again next year. Because really the problem that they had was where they fell in the draft. It's like it was a quarterback year that they didn't love anyone and they couldn't get the first pick.
You know what I just realized?
What's that?
Joe Flacco won his Super Bowl when his offensive coordinator was gearing up to be the starter at Notre Dame.
Wait, who's there? Is Tommy there?
Tommy's the
Tommy Reese is the Browns coordinator?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
This offseason. He got
oh,
promoted.
Oh, yeah, they moved him up, and that's why DeBoer had to go grab a...
Because Stefanski's not calling plays this year, right? I think that was his concession to keep his job. I know all the Notre Dame fans love Tommy, and he is the type
no,
of...
No, they don't.
I thought... No, who's the runner? The kid?
I love Tommy.
People love Book, right? Because he was, like, tough, and, like,
yeah,
people love Book.
I mean, he's the winningest quarterback of all
time. Okay, yeah, no. Tommy Reese falls upwards.
The weird thing about Tommy Reese is that people around college football and the NFL love him. Like, Nick Saban flew a private jet to South Bend to take him. It's not like Nick Saban was like, all right, fine, I'll take Tommy Reese. It was like, I'm flying the PJ to
but
South
also,
Bend.
But when he left, weren't a lot of Notre Dame fans, and I get it, like, it's the same thing with Oklahoma fans that, like, goodbye, Lincoln. Like, I understand fan bases can talk themselves, but weren't most Notre Dame fans kind of okay with it?
Yeah, because they're idiots.
Yeah, but, like, at the same time, Alabama, when Saban retires, they don't keep Tommy Reese. Bama fans were fine with that.
Oh, I know. No fan base seems to like him, but people who make decisions like him. Like, Brian Kelly wanted him to come to LSU with him. Saban takes him to Alabama. And now he's an offense coordinator.
All right, so here would be my recommendation for everyone. And I'll tell you what, buddy, you need to watch. So whatever the SEC's version of Drive to Survive on Netflix is called, you need to find some private time. Brian Kelly comes off as the biggest douche in the world.
Nice.
You are going to love and hate watch like. It's a great hate watch if you hate Brian Kelly. Like, if you hate Brian Kelly, this gives you all the feel you need. There's only five episodes, and listen,
have you watched all five?
I watched three last night. I stayed up too late. Like, that would be my recommendation for it is I should have stopped after one episode, but I couldn't.
Fantastic.
All right, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, see you.
That, of course, is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. My thanks to Neil McCready for joining the show. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show, coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card, buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.